Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold.
Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. Today we're going to talk about Yom Teruah, the day of warning alarm and joyful noise, Yahweh's call to repentance for rebirth and restoration. And then we're going to also talk about Yom Kippur as it relates to Yom Teruah and the warning that Yom Kippur is coming. First, we're going to start in Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And here in the King James Version, where it says, you shall have a memorial of blowing of trumpets, actually in the Hebrew, it says a memorial of teruah. And teruah is not necessarily a blowing of trumpets. As we've talked about extensively in the past, teruah, or H8643, actually means acclamation of joy or battle cry, an alarm. King James uses it as alarm, blowing, joy, loud noise, rejoicing. So then it is any joyful noise or sounding alarm. Then Leviticus chapter 23 goes on to instruct on the next feast, which is Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement or Covering. Yom means day, and Kippur means covering or atonement. Yom Kippur represents the day that Yahweh's people are atoned for. In other words, their sins are covered by the atoning blood covering of Yeshua Messiah. As we know from Scripture, those who reject the atoning blood covering of Yeshua are destined for judgment and just penalties for all of their sins when the books are opened. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through chapter 6, verse 23 explains in detail how the blood of Yeshua atones for all mankind who do not reject it but are born again. So we're going to read that here really quick. Again, Romans 5, verse 8 through 6, 23. But Yahweh demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Messiah died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to Elohim through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in Elohim through our Master Yeshua Messiah, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And here in the New King James Version, the word reconciliation can also be translated as atonement. It is atonement in the King James Version, but reconciliation in the New King James Version. And so again, verse 11 would say, and not only that, but we also rejoice in Elohim through our Master Yeshua Messiah, through whom we have now received the atonement. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, for under the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of Elohim and the gift by the grace of the one man, Yeshua Messiah, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came through one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one Yeshua Messiah. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, Yeshua Messiah, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Yeshua Messiah, our Master, our Lord. What shall we say then? And this is very important, so that we don't misunderstand what is being said in chapter 5. In chapter 6, verse 1, we read, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Yeshua Messiah were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Messiah, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to Elohim. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Elohim in Yeshua Messiah, our Master. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to Elohim as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to Elohim. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But Elohim be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness, for set-apartness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of Elohim, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Elohim is eternal life in Yeshua our Messiah. So Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6 make it very clear that we are justified through the atonement, the atoning blood of Yeshua Messiah. We are freed from sin, but then we are to live to righteousness. We are to become slaves of righteousness. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Elohim is eternal life. Eternal life through Yeshua Messiah and dying to our sins and being resurrected to live for him in righteousness. Of course, the best that we can. Repenting when we mess up, but striving always to live in righteousness free from sin. So then the question is asked, well, what is sin? Well, we are told in Scripture itself what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. So we are being atoned for through the blood of Yeshua to release us from the transgressions of His law that we've already committed, and through Him we can also repent for those sins which we may commit from day to day, because we are not yet made perfect, and we still abide in the flesh of this world. And all of our sins are covered by the atoning blood of Yeshua our Messiah. So then Yom Teruah, which comes 10 days before Yom Kippur, is the day of joyful noise because we are atoned for, but it is also a warning alarm that we should be sounding to warn others that the final day of atonement is almost here, and those whose sins are not covered by His blood will be judged according to all their works, which will be found imperfect and insufficient for eternal life and His kingdom. So then, another scripture regarding the Feast of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah. We have Numbers 29, verse 1, "And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing of the trumpets unto you." Again, a day of Teruah to you. So then, to summarize Yom Teruah, the day of Teruah, joyful noise or sounding alarm, we are to, 1, cease from work, 2, have a set-apart gathering, and 3, rejoice, but also sound the alarm and try to reach the lost with the good news of Yeshua's atoning blood before it's too late and the final Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, arrives, either at the end of this age or the final day of that person's life. Hebrews 9 makes this very clear in verse 27. But in order to understand verse 27 in context, first I'll go back and read the parts of chapter 9 that specifically talk about Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement, which Yeshua is now the high priest of. "Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary, for a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, or the holy of holies, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all its sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services." That means daily they went into the first part, which was not behind the veil, which was not the Holy of Holies, but into the second part, the Holy of Holies. "The high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies, was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing." So this is a picture of Yom Kippur. The priests only went into the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was, one time per year, and that was on Yom Kippur. And this once-a-year trip into the Holy of Holies was a picture of the coming atonement of Yeshua Messiah, as we're going to read. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Messiah came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Elohim, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there also must be of necessity the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which Elohim has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Messiah has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Elohim for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Yeshua was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So in this passage we see that the Yom Kippur ceremony, where the priest entered the Holy of Holies one time per year, was a picture of when Yeshua, at the end of the age, or at his coming, when he died upon the stake and is now at the right hand of the Father, at the end of this age he will enter the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur one time and offer his blood for the remission of sins of the world. So Yom Kippur is a representation of the ultimate sacrifice of Yeshua, the ultimate atonement of Yeshua's blood covering to cover our sins. When we accept this blood covering, when we ask him to forgive us of our sins, and we are accepting his atonement made for us in our place. However, we need to be sounding the alarm on Yom Teruah every and throughout the entire year. But Yom Teruah is a picture of the fact that we should be sounding this alarm to those who are not atoned for, who have rejected his atoning blood, or perhaps have not even heard of his atoning blood, that they can also be covered by his atoning blood on that final Yom Kippur, or on the final day of their life, so that when they do stand before him, all of their sins are atoned for and covered, and that they can have eternal life in his kingdom. That is how Yom Teruah relates to Yom Kippur, and both are a picture of what we should be busy doing. We need to be joyful because our sins are atoned for, but we also need to be sounding the warning alarm for those whose sins are not atoned for because they have rejected his gift, his sacrifice, or have perhaps not even heard of it. So then, in honor of Yom Kippur, which is the feast that recognizes and honors Yeshua's sacrifice, the shedding of his blood on the cross or stake for our sins, how are we told in Scripture to recognize and honor this day? Leviticus 16:2-34 explains the whole Yom Kippur sacrifice and ritual that happened once per year. And then Leviticus 23:26-32 gives us a short synopsis of what we should be doing. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Also the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the day of atonement, or Yom Kippur. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh, and you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before Yahweh your Elohim. For any person who is not afflicted in his soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people, and any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout all your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening to evening you shall observe your Sabbath," or ceasing. So this is a stark warning. He says it is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. You shall afflict your souls and cease from work, from evening to evening. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person Yahweh will destroy from among his people. And this is, again, a statute forever throughout all your generations and all your dwellings. Now, as a second witness, Numbers chapter 29, verse 7 says, on the 10th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. You shall not do any work. Then verse 8 goes on to reiterate the offerings on Yom Kippur. However, as we just read, Yeshua fulfilled the Yom Kippur offerings with his own blood instead of the blood of bulls and goats. So that part Yeshua has fulfilled for us. However, the other part that was our duty was to cease from work and afflict our souls. And if we don't do that throughout all of our generations, then Yahweh will cut us off from among his people. So we are to do this in honor of what Yeshua did for us. It's not a small thing that the Creator of heaven and earth came down to earth in the flesh and died for our sins. Of course we should afflict our souls on the day that represents this sacrifice, this gift to us. And we should also warn others to do the same. We should cease from work. We certainly should be working on the day that honors this sacrifice that the Creator of heaven and earth made on our behalf to atone for our sins. He tells us to honor this day throughout all of our generations, throughout all of our households. Yom Kippur is a day for us to reflect on what he has done for us and mourn and pray for those who have not accepted his atoning work on the cross. Can we not afflict our souls and completely deny ourselves one day out of the year in remembrance of the judgment we deserve, which Yeshua took upon himself in order to atone for all of our sins and deliver us from his judgment to come? Yes, we should honor him all year long, but this is one day that he asks us to specifically afflict our souls in honor of this atoning sacrifice that he made for us. As we have also pointed out in past programs, Yom Kippur is also pictured throughout the book of Revelation, and we believe that the seven trumps of Revelation, the judgments of Revelation, are seven Yom Teruahs, or seven Yom Teruah Jubilee trumpets. Yom Kippur is tied to Revelation, and Revelation can be better understood when we understand Yom Kippur and Yeshua's atoning blood. If you have not watched these videos or listened to these messages, please go to our website at www.hiswordheals.com and go to our blog page and scroll through those. There are several messages there that will explain this further. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.
Pestilence that walks in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. But it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the wrong ones. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra, young lion and serpent you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high, because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and esteem him. With long life I satisfy him and show him my deliverance. It is good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving commitment in the morning and your trustworthiness each night, on 10 strings and with harp, to the sounding chords of the lyre. For you have made me rejoice with your work, O Yahweh. I shout for joy at the works of your hands. O Yahweh, how great are your works!